Like to turn your attention to Romans, the 13th chapter. I'm not going to preach long, but my goal in every sermon is to somehow tell you something about our God that you didn't know,
Amen.
Cause you to draw closer to God,
Amen.
Make a greater commitment to God, because it's through the scripture that we're saved and we keep saved. So Romans 13 and verse number 10, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You can't say, well, I do this and I do that, and but I don't love. Can't have that. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying,
Amen.
But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. God's saying, just be careful not to put yourself in a situation where you can fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, who has lust of the flesh? Everybody that's in here. Everybody. As long as you're going in the flesh, you're always going to have the lust of the flesh. Amen. And then Proverbs 22 and verse number 1. Proverbs 22, verse number 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I wonder how many really believe that. A good name. Okay, you've got great riches, or you can have a great name. God says a good name is better than all the riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So tonight I'm going to teach on what is in a name. Lord, we ask your blessing,
Amen.
Your anointing, your touch. Help us, God. Help us, God, tonight.
Amen.
Lord, that we'd have a better understanding of what fulfills the purpose and causes us to draw closer to you.
Amen.
It's all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. What is in a name? Well, in the Bible, a name was pretty much everything. It laid out a future. It demonstrated where you came from. And I did some research this afternoon. Here are some of the unusual real names that I found. What could parents have been thinking, you know? I need a bath. Dusty Rhodes, just in case, Pearl E. Gates, Earl E. Byrd, Pete Moss, Rusty Carr, Dan D. Lyon, R. M. Pitt, Sandra Lear, and then I'm still am amazed that Sister Ball married Brother Ball because her name was Crystal, and so she's Crystal Ball. Wonder how many times people have asked Brother Ball if you got his message from Crystal Ball. You see, a good name is associated with a good reputation. You know, you can do all of the good things in life. You can give to the poor. You can, well, be a servant in many areas, but if you got a lousy reputation, if you don't have a good name, it really doesn't matter.
Amen.
Someone could do many good things and accomplish a lot and yet have a bad reputation. And I can't wait until this election is over, folks. I'm tired of it. We have two candidates with the two worst reputations of any candidate in the history of candidates. Yes, I'm going to vote, and I'm going to vote for the one that closest aligns up with the Word of God and conservative thinking. But it's dividing this nation by smearing each other's reputation. I don't even know about all of the real basic principles or ideas. It's all about smearing one another. And that's what human nature is right now. We're justifying ourselves by smearing somebody else, you know. I could be better if it weren't for you people, you know. Could the highest office in the country be occupied by somebody with a bad reputation? Now, people will try to slander our reputation just because we are professing to be Christians. But we must fight to keep a good name. And I mean fight in order to keep a good name. Not just fight against people, but fight against this flesh. Fight against making provision for the flesh. Revelation 12 and 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." So we have a devil who is constantly accusing the righteous, the saints, day and night. You're never going to get any rest until he's thrown into a bottomless pit. The devil works day and night to accuse the saints of wrong, and he gets help from those outside the church and those who have backslidden. Amen. Some of the worst people in this whole world are backslidden Pentecostals. And we've ministered to many of them in prison. It's just amazing. Now, you and I could spend most of our time trying to defend ourselves in order to clear our name, and that isn't many times going to happen. But all we have to really do, or all that is really important, is to keep our hands clean before God. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It matters what God sees. Amen. You know? Well, somebody said, doesn't matter. God knows where you're at. He looks at your report card, you see. And our God will defend us. As Daniel said to the king, God has shut the lion's mouth because of my innocency. And you know what? God will shut their mouths if they're accusing because of your innocency, not because you've tried to defend. Listen, people say, he's making a great name for himself, or he's got a great name, or his name isn't so good. And we've all heard those things. And today it seems like the name isn't so important as much as it is gratifying the flesh or doing what everybody else does. Would you turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter? I remember when my wife was working a full-time job after we sold our agency. She, for several years, worked for the Johnson Insurance Agency in Racine here doing commercial insurance. And it was a large office. And I remember her telling me that the president of the agency came in and said, "I don't know what you're doing, but you have completely changed the atmosphere in this office." And you know, we can change the atmosphere wherever we go because we're not going to do it like everybody else does it. We have principles and we're going to stay with those principles. And in Matthew 7 and verse number 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." So you can tell based on what they're doing. Don't tell me you're a Christian and then you're backbiting people, or you're stealing from the office, or you're cheating on this area or that area. No, no, it's very easy to see if you're the real deal, you see. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but corrupt trees bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So, we aren't supposed to produce anything but good fruit. Amen. You see, I can't just declare that I'm the pastor, you know, without living the life as a pastor. God cannot bless this church if I compromise in any way, walk into a movie theater, have an occasional drink from time to time, or wear shorts or a Speedo. Maybe that's a little too graphic, if you could get that out of your mind now, okay. You can't cheat in business and still be a Christian. Well, but I give to the church. Sorry. It just doesn't work that way, you see. When we say a name, we automatically think of a reputation. Lucifer, Jezebel, Adolf Hitler, Elvis Presley, Bill Clinton, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa. Every time you say a name, a well-known name, you always associate that name with something. And hopefully when your name is read in heaven, there's an association. Oh yeah, that's the one who teaches all those Bibles. So that's the one who is always, you know. Your name is your identity. And that's why in the Bible, when somebody changed their character, hopefully when we come into the church, we change our character. God often gave them a new name, such as Abram to Abraham, Jacob to Israel, Simon to Peter, and it's because there was a character change that their name was changed. And aren't you glad that when we repented and were baptized in Jesus' name, God not only changed our character, but he also changed our name. And his character is now our character, and his reputation is now our reputation, and his authority is now our authority, because we got it when we got the name. We need to walk in this place knowing that we have greater authority than those that are around us every day. Our good name gives us authority with God, and when people, as we, have been given great power but have no character, it tarnishes the name of Jesus. So we have the power, and now God is saying, you better live up to the name that you have. Right. You lived up to the name you had. Now you need to live up to the new name that you have, because you are my ambassador. You are my representative. No matter where you go, people are going to look at your character and look at my character at the same time. Would you consider working for this company? Listen, it has 300 employees. Here are the statistics. 30 of them have been accused of spousal abuse. 9 have been arrested for fraud. 14 accused of writing bad checks. 95 have filed bankruptcy. 4 have done time for assault. 55 cannot get a credit card because of their bad debt. 12 arrested on drug charges. 4 arrested for shoplifting. 16 currently are defending lawsuits. 62 have been arrested for drunk driving just this year. Who? They are the people who write the laws in the Canadian Parliament. And yet, they're the ones who are leading that country. I don't know what the statistics are for the United States, but when the leadership doesn't have any kind of character, folks, I have to be pristine. I have to have the right character. I have to respond the way God wants me so this church is blessed, and you have to respond and have the right character so this church. It is important, you see. The world is fed up with people who say one thing and are another. Right. And that's part of what's going on right now in the United States. People are fed up. They're fed up. not change. Just take care of yourself. There are many religious figures in this world today, and if they have a good reputation, it's because they're following the scripture and developed a good character. And a good character doesn't just fall on you because you've walked into the house of God. A good character doesn't come just because you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, although you have the power within you in order to change your character. Paul said, I love the things that I used to hate, and I hate the things that I used to love. I mean, everything is upside down since I've come to the Lord. None have a reputation, I don't care how good we are, like our God. Amen. Hebrews 4 and 15 says, He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. 1 John 3 and 5 says, And you know He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. There was nothing within Him. Was He tempted? Absolutely. He was flesh. He came and He submitted Himself to the cross, but there were temptations, but He didn't make provision for the flesh, and He was without sin. Now, even the atheists, well, they have to admit that when Jesus came, He utterly changed everything, including He changed and transformed the way we keep and measure time. Even the atheists have to realize it's B.C. and A.D. And so everything changes when Jesus comes into your life. And when Jesus comes into your life, if you don't see a dramatic change, then you don't have the real Jesus. You've got the light version, you know? They have light beer and regular beer. We can't have a light Jesus. Well, we're just going to take a low-calorie Jesus that doesn't really require all of the change in our life. We have to have all of the change in our life. We're talking about a good name. Maybe your family didn't have a very good name. Maybe your whole family was noted for some kind of scoundrel that was in your family, or perhaps even you don't have a good name. Have you thought about changing your name to Jesus tonight? Amen. When other religions promise salvation without a good name, they are writing a bad check. Because you can't get a good name without taking on a good name, and the name is Jesus. Acts 4 and 12 says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There has to be a name used. We have to take on not only the name of Jesus, but we have to take on the character of Jesus as well. Otherwise, it would be a travesty to take on the name. I really believe when the Bible says, don't take the name of the Lord in vain, it isn't just talking about swearing. It's talking about being baptized in Jesus' name and then going back to the same old life that you came out of. Isaiah 7 and 14 says, Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. And I know we all know this, but Emmanuel means God with us. Then why did Mary name Him Jesus when the scriptures say, that He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Now listen to this. Jesus means Yahweh saves, or where God dwells, God saves. If you get nothing out of this message tonight, get this. Where God dwells, God saves. The name of Jesus. Does this bring greater meaning to Christ in you, the hope of glory? So when God dwells, God saves. You don't understand the power we have because we have Jesus within us. And if He's dwelling within us, He's not only going to save us, but He's going to keep us. Amen. Although the scriptures, throughout the scriptures, God has illustrated wherever he dwells, he will bring salvation. So if you consider God is dwelling within us, what he has wanted way back in Isaiah, 700 years before he was born in Bethlehem, he said, I want to be God with you. What he was really saying is, I want to be in you of a truth. So turn to Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 2. Verse number 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. So when Jesus comes to dwell with you, salvation comes to your house. We have salvation within us, folks. Hallelujah. He's come to be God with us. He is God with us. This day, remember when salvation came to your house? Remember that day? What about blind Bartimaeus and Lazarus and Mary Magdalene and the daughter of Jairus and the Samaritan woman? When Jesus came to their house, there was salvation in their midst. Where God dwells, God saves. He wants to dwell in more people. From the dawn of history, man has desperately sought to employ services of someone who could heal their body and fix their soul, someone who could give them peace. And today we're looking at a day where there are desperate people looking for a specialist, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a psychiatrist or philosopher, even man-made religion. They're looking for something that will give them peace, something that will fix their problems, and so many turn to drugs or alcohol or relationships. Many have applied for the position, but no one could have the qualifications in order to take care of it, and that's why this whole world is so frustrated. They're looking for somebody, and the end time, what they're going to do is they're going to elect an antichrist who is going to fix all of their problems, because nobody has helped them. So let's go to a familiar scripture, and I'm coming to an end. Isaiah, the ninth chapter. And verse number 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So this is a prophecy 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And it says, this child, this son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. In other words, all authority will be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, He's going to be the counselor. He's going to be the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father, and he's the only one who can bring peace into your life. Amen. Here Isaiah introduces a special candidate in order to take care of all of the problems, all of the situations in the world. What is his resume like? Personality? Perfectly balanced. Wonderful. Education? Knows all things. He is the great counselor. Nationality? Rules all nations. He is the mighty God. Work experience? Creator. Everlasting Father. Skills? Reconciliation. He's the Prince of Peace. He can bring any war together. He can take care of any marital problems. He can take care of any battles. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. His resume looks good. And if you ever voted for anyone, you need to vote for Jesus. He fulfills all expectations and is qualified in every area to take charge of your life. You don't have to run to this person and to this person and this person. He is the one. He is the Savior. Would you turn to Colossians, the third chapter? Colossians 3 and verse number 17, very familiar scripture. It says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So, you know, I don't understand how there could be some who will pray for a healing in Jesus' name but not be baptized in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know? Everything you do in word or deed. You know what? We need to be a name dropper whenever we have an opportunity, because in the name of Jesus, if Jesus wills, Jesus protect, Jesus help me, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because everything we do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. When we eat, do it in the name of Jesus. When we work, do it in the name of Jesus. Before we come together, before we have a problem, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then 1 Corinthians 10. 31. It says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." So we're not lifting up ourselves. We're always lifting up our God. You know, if you ever do a good job in singing or preaching or anything else, you know what? If somebody compliments you, you might want to take it, but you might want to say, "Thank you, Jesus."
Amen.
Because really,
yes.
Who made your lips?
Amen.
Who gave you your talents?
Amen.
In the Old Testament, God chose to reveal himself through covenant names, through the prophets, and through even feasts. And each one revealed a different aspect of his character and his reputation. But in the New Testament, God accompanied the revelation of himself in flesh with a brand new name.
Amen.
And so many times in the scripture, Abraham asked him, what his name? Jacob wrestled with him and asked him what his name was. And God would not reveal his name until he revealed his flesh.
Amen.
Jesus is the redemptive name of God.
Amen.
It is the name of supreme power. It is the name of supreme authority. All power is given to him in heaven and in earth. The only saving name. The highest name ever revealed on earth or in heaven. And it also is your name and my name. So our last scripture as the musicians come, Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2 and 9. Actually, let's go to verse number 3. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves."
Amen.
Now, this is a stage in which Jesus entered in. That, you know what? He came in lowliness of mind. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him the name, not a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord or supreme being to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Where God dwells, God saves.
Amen.
You know, you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. There are some that deny the name of Jesus, even in Christianity. It's not important. Outside of Christianity, they believe they can be saved in another way. But every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is supreme. Every name. Glory to God. Would you stand with me? How could something so simple be so great? I've been to Mexico many, many times. And I think there's never been a time I've been in Mexico that I didn't find somebody by the name of Jesus or Jesus in Mexico. It's a common name. It really is. But Jesus took that name, you see, and made it glorious, made it powerful. Hallelujah. There's something about that name, Jesus. There's something about that name, folks. It cannot be commonplace. And when we walk in here and that name Jesus leaves our lips, there's something glorious about it. Hallelujah. That we just don't use it in a common vernacular, in a common place. Because that name, well, it demands respect and authority. Hallelujah. That when we need something or we want to pray for someone or something, we can use that name with the greatest authority and the greatest respect. Because he's given us the greatest gift in that name, whereby everyone shall be saved. Amen. This week, would you use that name, Jesus, a few times? The altar is open. Would you come?